This tale is, as all bard songs are, an adaptation. It may contain adult themes and strong language. Welcome, dear listeners, to Abyss.
Welcome to episode 8 of Abyss. So, who are you? What are you? And to celebrate today, which is Manatee Appreciation Day, what is your favourite fact about manatees? Starting with Shiraz.
Hello, I'm Shiraz, and I play the Dragonborn Ishidoro, who is a rogue, and this question has thrown me for a loop. So I'm going to use the one fact that I do remember about manatees, that people used to think that they were mermaids at some point because of their vaguely human shape.
Okay. Wednesday?
Hi, I'm Wednesday. I play the character Desolation, or Layla, the tiefling ex-soldier. I'm very upset with you, Shiraz, because you stole my manatee fact. It was like the only thing I knew.
It's benefits to being the first.
because I also love mermaids. The whole thing about manatees being mermaids and, like, you know, I don't know. It's not really a fact, but they're super cute because they're gymongous and they just sort of lay in the water. So I don't know. I don't think that's a fact, though. But
okay.
There we go. That's my opinion.
That's fine. Next we have Freya.
Hello, I'm Freya. I play Nal the half-orc rogue. And I really only know one fact about manatees, and that is that they're unfortunately classified as vulnerable on the red list of species in the world. So they are currently vulnerable as a species.
Okay, hopefully get a happier note with Tono.
Yeah, I know a fact related to manatees and not about manatees, and a sad fact that is actually about manatees. So which one do you want?
Your character first, please.
Well, I'm playing Rasthikos, the human warrior.
Go with the sad fact first, so we get all the sad news out of the way first.
Manatees were actually hunted for a while by the indigenous people of the Caribbean, and the way they would do this was they would sail out in canoes, offer bait to make the manatee come up to the surface, and just hit it in the head with an oar.
Oh,
doesn't sound very efficient.
And it wasn't to kill it, because it was to, you know, stun them so that it would flip over in the water. The non-sad fact that isn't directly about manatees is they are closely related to, but not the same as, dugongs. So dugongs are not manatees.
Are they not?
No.
No.
They're closely related, but they're not the same.
Dugongs are smaller, aren't they?
I think so. I think manatee covers, like, 3 species, while dugongs cover their closest related cousin.
And dugong, of course, is the evolved form of seal.
No.
Of course. Oh, god damn it.
Dugongs are the same family as manatees.
Did anyone... Is it just the two of us that got that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so. No one else knows what I'm talking about, so it's fine. Dragon.
Hello, I'm Dragon. I'm playing the drow Tris Nitra. She is a drow who was imprisoned for trying to run away because she got hit with random magic. And quite frankly, she doesn't trust the rest of the city with that magic. Random manatee fact.
Yes.
Okay, the closest living relatives of manatees and dugongs are elephants. They're sea elephants.
Sea elephants.
Sea elephants.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Yes, we're sad bastards. And finally, Susie.
Hi, I'm Susie. I play 13, the enthusiastic goblin minion. And my fact about manatees is that, like all sort of large, gentle, slow-moving creatures, they can actually move pretty fast because manatees can swim up to 20 miles per hour for a little bit, and then they get tired. But when they're usually swimming around, it's about 3 to 5 miles per hour. Which is faster than you'd think.
It is. It is.
Also one of those creatures that don't have a reputation for, like, being dangerous.
Unlike dolphins.
Yeah. Unlike dolphins, who
dolphins
are absolute
vicious
bastards.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, they seem to be quite gentle.
Probably why they're endangered. So, what happened last week?
Yeah, sorry. Somebody please tell me what happened last week.
Okay. So,
demon stuff.
Morgan King explained that they can't find the surface no matter what direction they go in. Ishidoro found demon magic seeping into the city, and we got sent out to a place called Mental Dereth. Mental Dereth. With a scholar monk type dwarf, because apparently something had showed up there and that the drow were fighting to take it, so that means it must be interesting. Ishii realises there is a sloth demon and that the dwarves we can see at this outpost are dead but propped up. However, our scholar is completely oblivious and very insistent that they're alive and waving to us. Again, Ishii does amazingly because he manages to make a ward, a sigil which helps to stave off the exhaustion that we're getting from being close to the sloth demon, while the scholar offers to bless things with cider. After that, 13 and Stool both went to sleep, and Stool woke up screaming that there was a big green thing that was going to try and eat him, whereas 13 woke up and said there was a big green thing that was very friendly with lots of teeth and smiled and showed their teeth off. Nal was offended that we were all talking about evil big green things. There were three doors into the outpost, and when we went in, we found some drow with a dead were-rat, so we think that they were part of the hunting party that was sent out after us, because we also found one of the other escaped slaves who had ripped the drow limb from limb, which was somewhat concerning, but the two groups had killed each other off, so kind of left it at that. Then up in the top level, there was a possessed dwarf with the whole, like, solid white eyes, demon possession, all sorts of things, and a multifaceted black gem. So scholar tells us that ties the demon to this plane, and we need to break it, but it must be broken in a holy place, such as the anvil in Gontalgrim, because they decided to make the anvil for their blacksmithing double up as their altar. So took the gem back to Gontalgrim, broke it, and the city no longer feels demonic.
And 13 has no more bees in a jar.
Yes, 13 used all of her hornets in a jar. She's still got a jar of flies, though.
Ew.
We reckon
she's got the chills, guys.
We suggested that she did not try to recapture the hornets with the flies.
So, you spend a couple of days, once you get back, to sort of enjoy the fact that you don't really have any pressure to do anything now you're back in the city. And after about 2 or 3 days of sort of recovery, you're approached by a guard who tells you to come seek audience with the king. So, yet again, you are brought into this quite large chamber where the king resides, and immediately you notice the king talking to what seems to be this gigantic stone golem that seems to be about maybe 12 foot, 13 foot high, and as you walk in, you hear, "Yes, yes, yes, these people are here, they know what they're doing. Ah,
Here they come now. These are the great folk that rid my city of the demon.
And he gestures towards you, and this massive stone creature just turns round towards you all and goes... And the king sort of gives you a... Go on, answer him.
Do any of us understand what he is saying?
I don't know. Do any of you speak primordial?
No.
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 I'm just going to curtsy.
What 13 thinks she does?
The king sort of looks at you all and realises quite quickly that none of you can speak the same language, and he goes,
Gazarim, can you translate a little for him?
And you hear this familiar voice go,
well, they're kind of wanting to know if you were actually the ones who got rid of the demon.
Do they mean the demon at Mantle Dereth?
Well, the one that's been bothering everyone, yeah.
Then I guess so, yes.
He says that he'd like us to go down to Graven Hollow with him. Says it's where he's from. He's got this big demon problem down there. We could probably be useful.
What's in it for us?
They want to know what's in it for them. He says he's got a shiny rock.
I want a hat. Really big one.
The king is notably laughing at this point, and you hear...
He says he can suit you with a hat, but they don't have many for your size. You know, they're all a bit bigger down there.
And he gestures to the fact that it's a 13-foot-high stone golem.
That's fine. I want a really big hat.
He says, that's fine, they'll give you a hat.
What do you want now?
Think I want money.
He says the currency they have is in stone.
Precious
he says he's
stone?
Happy to pay you in several ton of stone.
Fine.
Oh, he says he'll even throw in a shovel.
You already have a shovel.
I'm going to hide the shovel sort of behind my legs.
Mal has given up at this point. She's never going to get paid, is she? Not properly.
I think it would be safest for us to agree and try. I don't much fancy disappointing a 13-foot golem standing in front of me.
Technically, he's not going to squish us in front of the king. I hope.
That would be really rude.
It would. But I agree. If there's a demon, I want to kill it.
And Gazrim then goes,
wonderful. Right, I'll go and get packing. I'll be back in a minute.
And he runs out of the room.
Sorry, guys. I think I may have agreed.
That is fine. In fact, wait. I wish to ask the king if they are finding their tunneling any easier since the demon has gone.
Well, been trying for a while, but again, it doesn't seem to be giving up much, but we are still trying. I'll send word if we get anywhere.
So there's still no way to get to the surface?
We've not found the surface. The stone is still unfriendly.
When you say unfriendly, what do you mean?
We dwarves has an affinity with the stone. We don't have that here. It rejects us. Doesn't feel safe or right.
It is very, very strange.
But when you got down here, you said that this city has been here for a while, yes?
Well, we built this city.
Yes, and it's been here for a couple of years, or?
It's been about 20 years since we started.
And since then you've been stuck down here, unable to go to the surface?
Yeah, we've not been able to get anywhere.
Do you have any historical texts about your travel down here?
Gazrim may have made something, but we didn't have a scribe for the longest time. We couldn't make ink, you see.
Since our objective is to get to the surface, is there anything you think that we'll be able to do to help you?
Well, to be honest, killing demons is always a good thing, right, brother? Ah, that's right. See, bit of a joker.
Mm. He sort of looks at all of you and goes like, you really can't understand what he's saying, can you?
Mm-hmm.
There is not much call for speaking primordial in a drow city.
At this point, the rock golem turns back to the king and goes...
Right. You want them to send to you. Right, well, it'll take them a while to get there, you know that, right? All right, I'll give them provision. They'll see you in a few weeks. Fine, a week, I'll give them a cart.
And the sort of golem turns to face you, bows slightly, and then begins to make for the exits.
I curtsy back.
I just watch in suspicion.
So. Guys, I'm really sorry. I have to do this. I've been dying. I'm going to explode. We built this city on rock and roll. I'm so sorry.
King just looks at you confused.
No self-restraint. Oh, God.
At this point,
I've heard of this bardic song.
I'm so sorry.
The golem sort of leaves. You wanted to ask the king anything before Gazrum gets back?
Okay, what provisions are we talking about?
Well, I have to send you to Graven Hollow from here. It's a long journey by cart, but it can be done. We've done it once before.
These guys are another way.
We'd send you the same way that they go, but you don't want to see the way the stone giants go. None of us are not squishy enough, shall we say, to survive it.
I see.
Any chance we'll run into drow on the way down there?
Well, we can give you what weapons we can, but it's your small enough group, I don't think they'd notice you.
I raise an eyebrow at Ishidoro.
I kind of like just turn around and start walking away a little bit, just to get out of the sight of the king, and kind of gesture to everyone to kind of like go for some place where we can talk amongst ourselves.
So we're going to like form a not discreet huddle. In the throne room, we're just gonna look at a king and be like,
"King's just like
outside the showroom, the throne room, more like it." But yeah, the general idea. Just exclude the king for a moment.
I'm picturing this like throne room filled with pillars, and we just all shuffle up.
Begging your pardon, Your Majesty. One moment.
And I'm like, so what do we think? I mean. It's a demon. I don't have any issues with that, but it seems like we're going further deep back in.
Yes.
I'm not too keen on that.
This will take us deeper again, but if they cannot find the surface from here, then I do not see any harm.
The harm is getting eaten by demons.
Was we not talking about sneaking out through the drow camp? Because they can get to the surface.
They can. This is true. However, we won't be able to get to a drow camp if we stay in the city. Mm. I agree. I think that dealing with this demon will give us a new location, at least to check and see what is going on. The drow camp that trades with the surface or goes to the surface will be very heavily guarded. They will be well armed. The more resources we can acquire, the better.
Mm. Please, just a question. Hypothetically, if we were to get our hands on a drow, would you be able to interrogate them?
But of course.
Maybe we could do that. Find out, like, because clearly, and I say it in a very hushed tone, the king doesn't talking about the stone not speaking to them properly. Maybe the drow might be more cooperative if we, you know, twist an arm or something.
Twist off an arm.
At which point I'm going to again sort of push the shovel behind me because it still has a bit of arm connected to it.
You know, you should name that thing. It's a great weapon.
Okay. Look, I'm not happy about us going deeper into this place, but I really do think that we should try and help the people here while we are here because we can't get out onto the surface.
I'd be happier if you get paid. I miss my old job.
Not that there's anywhere to spend money here.
They did mention a big, nice rock. I mean, which was a stone.
I'm going to collect on that stone.
Mm. In fairness, shiny stone can be valuable.
Not everything's about money.
Nearly everything is.
No. Rent, food,
every
your clothes, is your
about
weapons.
Is the medicine. King looking at us?
Because
if he is, I'm going to just turn around and like snicker and then look back into the group.
Her teen slowly turns around and looks at
me. She drops her head into her hands like, no, everything is about having enough power or leverage to stay alive.
So it's agreed then. We grab a drow and we make him tell us what they know about getting to the surface.
You sound very much like a drow. Very much like a drow.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I do the Will Smith thing where like I point dramatically towards her.
Oh, just by the way, what language are we speaking? I'm assuming it's common because we all speak common, but not everybody
speaks
common.
Yeah,
that's the only common one. Okay.
Common has become the only language.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay.
Before Gazrun comes back, I would like to do a geology check, please.
Sure.
Might also want to do a demonology and arcana type check mixed with it.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know much geology.
You don't know much about it. You sort of tap the stone, you say, I don't see what the dwarves are having a problem with. Tap, 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 and the stone's just not crumbling at all.
Can I try with arcana?
Mm-hmm.
Even worse.
You can't tell anything from it. It definitely doesn't seem like there's anything you can really work with.
I turn to the other pyromaniacs in the group and I say, do you know what we should do? We should get stuff that can cause fire.
Yes!
Yes.
Why?
Fire
so
is
we can
useful.
Start fires.
Fire is useful against demons, against people who live in the dark.
I was about to say that lighting a fire within the enclosed space of the Underdark band, given the smoke and all, but would the smoke not seek the highest point? Would that not show a possible way out?
That's a very good idea.
Let's start a fire. I'm sorry.
No, it's a good idea.
The best idea.
Okay. Turn around to the king and walk up bowing, and I'm like, great king, in our provisions, could we have some form of flint and tinder and torches and possibly flammable liquid if you have any?
Well, we've got some alcohol made from mushrooms. It's, I wouldn't call it flammable, but your legs do go after a few drinks.
Yeah, it's not about setting a fire inside, it's more about setting a fire externally.
I see. We've got a few things, got a little oil, not much though.
Can we have some of it?
I suppose we could spare a little.
Cool. This is just a question in general, like how is this place lit up? Like, what form of lighting do they have? Is it
magic? Yeah, they have some sort of like light stones kind of thing.
I ask if I could borrow a couple of those. We could have some.
Oh, that you'd have to ask Gazrim, but sure.
And then I just start like bowing profusely while returning to the safety of the hut.
If I were to examine and study the light stones, would I be able to work out something of their magic?
You could try, yeah.
Because that sounds like it's something that would be very useful to have. Especially if we need to be able to make our own at some point.
If we could somehow amplify the light, it would be a very useful thing.
Well,
at this point, Gazrim returns, pulling a sort of robe on him. He looks like he's got a sort of backpack with him containing several bits of scroll, and he's like hurriedly trying to like bottle some sort of ink in one hand.
I offer to help him carry some of it.
I'm back. I've got all the stuff. We're going to ride a good adventure.
Great.
Excellent.
Could you get us some of those stones that give off light? And the king has allowed us to
take
some.
It's just a simple light spell.
Oh, okay. Can we have some?
Well, it's a, you know, family secret, you know, but I could do it for you.
Okay. Like, you could teach us.
He picks up a sort of loose tile on the ground and he sort of whispers something under his breath and it begins to glow faintly.
Ooh. Wow.
Can I roll Arcana to identify the process by which he did?
Sure. Natural 20. Yes, you basically establish everything but the exact word he said.
Hmm.
Okay. Wow. I ask him for the word. Like, what's the word you said there?
Oh, I can't tell you that. It's a family secret.
Okay. I'll keep watching him.
Ishidoro, if you can teach me what you found, I might be able to manage it, because I have this strange magic inside of me that I don't know how to control, so a word might not be helpful.
I'll spend some time like teaching priests what I know, what I think is how he did it.
Okay, we will do that once you're on the road in the cart then. You want to ask King anything else before you leave?
I ask him, Great King, what do you know of the stone person's predicament? Anything you can tell us?
Oh, they helped us set up in the early days. They helped us build the city.
Mm-hmm.
They're a good soul. You know, not like those filthy drow. The giants are healthy people. They're wonderful. The only problem is they guard the labyrinth to the south.
A labyrinth?
Aye.
Wonder
if that's where the drow found those demons.
Interesting.
Okay. Do you know what specific demon troubles him? Has he given you any information that, you know...
All he said was, how did you deal with your demon? We've got several.
Oh, good. Several.
Several. I see.
Do you have more salt, by any chance?
Oh, we've got loads of salt. We can find some over there.
Cool. We'll get some.
The giant arrived, and he asked us what happened with the demon. He mostly seemed to come to us. He said that there was an absence of demonic feeling from here. So we told him that you got rid of the demon. He seemed very interested.
It's interesting that there is so much demon energy around that the absence of it was notable. Was he coming to the city anyway? Or were they able to feel the difference from a distance?
They study the demons, you see. It's the three big stone giants. They all study the demons. They know where they are.
I asked Gazrim if any of the shards of the stone we destroyed are left. Or anything.
Do you mean any shards of the gem?
Yep.
Well, there might be one or two, but they've not got any power left of them.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something and you tell me if it's possible. Since the stone was housing a demon, or like anchoring it to the plane of existence, would it be possible for me to somehow, and then I start explaining a theory of how to like create maybe a tracking stone out of it, you know, like how a divining rod would work, but for demonic energy?
Well, you see that the runes written on the side of the stone are for that demon. So it wouldn't really work, I'm afraid.
Okay, so there's no way to repurpose it to just detect demons.
I don't think you'd be able to do that, no.
Well, I guess
maybe the libraries of Graven Hollow would have something.
Okay.
Sorry, just to clarify, where are we heading now?
We're heading to the great libraries of Graven Hollow.
Okay, all right.
It'll be a few days on the cart, but, you know, we get to go past all the cities, get a bit of gossip on the way.
Sounds good. Do you guys need anything? And I look at everyone else. Now's the time.
String. Lots and lots of string.
I've gotten what I need.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gazrim fishes through his pockets and finds a very large ball of string for 13.
Tinder.
Need more string.
Gazrim looks at you confused and goes through another pocket, finds another ball of string.
Rope would be good.
I think we have a little bit of rope.
We need lots of rope.
Proper rope. And with... Oh, what's the word?
Climbing hook thingies.
A grappling hook.
Gazrim sort of taps his pockets and goes, I don't have one of those.
Oh, bloody hell. We'll have to go and get one before we leave.
It might be difficult since they have very little metal.
Gazrim hands Layla another bit of flint and tinder.
Wait.
Okay.
I'm so excited.
I think I have everything I need.
Okay.
What's pulling the cart?
It's kind of some sort of weird creature. It's not dissimilar to a horse, but it's not so much a horse. It's more of a sort of like, it's kind of what you consider like cattle, but very much a sort of bizarre underdark creature cattle.
I see. Interesting.
So it's decided that we will try and capture and try and get some information out of some people. I say this as quietly as possible.
As long as we can find someone with information, I can get it out of them.
That's good.
Do we really have to go that far? Can we just ask really politely?
I think we're too deep in it now. We've agreed to everything. Everything's set up. Like I said, I'm sorry.
I do not think that anyone with the information we need would give it up without significant persuasion.
And I roll out the torturer's kit that I have.
Yeah, Nal cracks her knuckles.
Oh, God.
It does not necessarily mean violence.
I mean, we could psychologically torture them by singing.
You do the ginger beer trick.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. We need ginger beer.
I don't think the dwarves have beer. They only have.
We don't have ginger, sadly. God, I miss ginger.
13, like, sticks her thumb into her cheek. Makes, like, the pop. Thank you.
I shall go and find 2 pounds of salt and ask Gazrim to help me consecrate it before we go any further, since it worked well last time.
Okay, so you've got this cart with food for a couple of days, this effectively barrel of salt. Is there anything else you want in the cart before you leave?
Stuff to set fire.
Okay, you have a small flagon of oil.
Very precious. Apart from that, no, I think it's fine. We all have the bows and arrows from the last time when we attacked the drow, so we'll keep them. Okay?
Okay. So, you head out of Gondolgrim, and you immediately feel the winds hit you as your cart begins to head back south. So, you've all got kind of robes now, and you can like pull them tight over yourself as you sort of break your way through the very harsh winds outside Gondolgrim and begin heading back south. After about half a day's travel, you come to Blingdenstone, and immediately when you hit Blingdenstone, it seems everyone in Blingdenstone seems a lot happier. It seems that the fact the slimes have all disappeared means that less buildings are collapsing, so less people are dying, and more people are slowly returning to Blingdenstone.
Do we still have Jimjar with us?
Jimjar stayed behind in Gondolgrim.
Oh, I see.
I guess you have too many people money.
Well, I wondered if you would want to go back to Blingdenstone or not.
Is there really an acidic puddle of acid still there?
Yes, your really acidic puddle of acid is still in the middle of town. Like a giant pothole that like belts anything that goes in it.
It seems like a fair trade.
Yeah, I mean, it's a city feature now. It's the waste disposal.
Easy way to get rid of bodies.
I like how you think.
So,
is Gazrim wanting to stop here?
You stop briefly in Blingdenstone for a couple of hours to sort of like feed your beast and sort of hear the sort of local chatter of what's going on. Everyone seems to be quite confused that the slimes have stopped. There is still talk on the air of Glabagol. Several guards have went missing, but in the last like day or so, sightings of Glabagol have seemed a bit less. You also notice at this point Stool is very vacant.
Stool? Are you talking to Eric by any chance?
Huh?
Are you okay?
Yes! Friend Eric is talking to me again!
Yes, I thought he might be.
He's such a great friend.
How is he?
He's very happy, and he wants to thank Rastikos.
Tell him that he's welcome.
Okay.
What have I done?
The Stool just looks at you confused.
Why is Eric saying thank you to Rastikos?
Yes, that's... I mean, Isidora was the one to cut out the brain of the pudding gang.
He sort of looks a bit vacant and then he comes back up a second later.
He just says thank you. He's nice like that, friend Eric.
Okay, thank you, Stool.
Thank you, Stool.
And I cuddle Stool back in.
Okay.
In fact, no, we are on a cart. He can just be sitting on the cart and, like, swinging little feet.
I don't like the sound of this, Eric. I mean, we should meet him at some point.
It's suspicious.
Oh. I think it's incredibly suspicious.
I doubt that Eric is omnipresent, as he's said.
I bet 10 gold we have to stab him in the end.
I mean, first
Do
off...
Do you have 10 gold?
Nal pulls out the... I think, yeah, I've got 2 bags of coins.
Where did you get that from?
Bodies.
I presumably she got it from where we get all our stuff, which is at this point dead drow.
Yeah. I suppose that's okay. Economy. Yay.
How does Dole react to our suspicions of Eric?
Stool just seems to be in a world of his own.
Okay.
I'm going to keep an eye on Stool and see when he sort of becomes himself again, like when he starts noticing things about him rather than talking to Eric. Like when we go away from the city. Just how far it happened. This seems to be an effective range that Eric had.
Yes.
I turn to Gazerman and I say, have you ever heard the name Eric?
Oh, I know many Erics. I know Eric the Beard. Eric the Beardless. Mm-hmm. Big Eric.
Small
Little
Eric.
Little Eric.
Yeah. Any Erics that know magic?
Oh, not really, no.
It would have to be an Eric that does not live in Gontalgrim.
Oh,
it's
right.
From here to slightly further deeper that Eric communicates with Stool.
Well, I don't really know that many Erics outside Gontalgrim, no.
So are you writing all this down, Agazin? Our adventure?
Well, I'm trying to dictate everything that happened. So far, I've only got the story about 13 eating bugs.
Oh.
13's gonna have a nap now. And she curls up and goes to sleep.
Yeah.
You should write about that.
Nal takes out her dusty blanket and just puts it over 13.
Shall we move on?
Okay. So, on your journey between Blindenstone and the next stop, Stool asks Rastakos,
so, is your hammer enchanted?
Not as far as I know. Was that giant crop top enchanted?
I think so.
I mean, not as far as I know. Speaking in character. I just picked up the first weapon I found back in that other dwarven city, name of which escaped me at the moment. In my memory, she's the city that thought it could enslave and farm Drakenspur.
Yes.
Still have 17 bottles.
Drakenspur. Are you guys talking about this loudly?
I mean, yes. Stool asked me, so I presume I'm answering him.
Okay. Layla's going to throw up over the side of the cart.
Oh. Well, it's just going to rub Layla's back, hold her hair
I'm just going to go, Layla, look here. And then when she looks, I'm going to say, Dragon spot.
And then I'm going to throw up again over the side of the car.
Good to know.
Get it over.
Can I try and push Ishidora out of the cart?
Push it into the vomit.
Oh.
Yeah, just sort of take him and
just tinkling over the side. Oh my god.
So, after about another half a day's travel, you arrive on the edge of Netherlight Grotto, and already as you get closer you notice something is very strange. If you remember last time you were in Netherlight Grotto, it was sort of bathed in a light that lasted like roughly about an hour of your time before it changed colour.
Yes.
As you approach, about every 7 seconds the light seems to change to a different colour.
That is concerning.
You better keep an eye on Stool.
Yes. Does Stool seem any different from usual?
Stool seems alarmed.
It's okay, we will have a look, but we'll need to be very careful.
Should we go by foot and leave Stool here, since he's not feeling...
That might be wise. He might be at risk. Something is clearly very wrong. But then, we left just before that wedding.
Yeah.
Should we really go back there?
That's a good point.
Do we have to go into the city?
When you get close to it, you hear the sound of screaming.
Physical screaming or inside our heads?
It's inside your head, but it's like manic screaming, like someone panically trying to do something.
Oh dear.
How is Stool?
Stool seems worried and wants to check it out.
Now, this is an important question. This type of screaming, is it the manic screaming of someone trying to escape something? Or the manic screaming of someone who perhaps has built something and now it is not working, so they're thumping at it going, why won't you work? Or, you know.
It's the sound of panically trying to do something.
Okay. Can I roll a quick demonology check, or would I have to get closer to figure out if that's...
You would have to get a bit closer than that for the moment.
I will jump off the cart and start making my way closer.
Okay, so you said the screaming sounds like someone is panicking, but they're panicking about doing something. Does it sound like they need help with something, or...?
As you sort of like glance through the sort of scattered view, you can see lots of myconids like running here and there, carrying like big handfuls of stuff here and there, and seem to be like stockpiling.
Mm. What's the stuff?
What looks like either food or debris.
Can I just walk up to one of them and ask them what's going on?
You can, yes. You walk into the city and you ask one of them what's going on. They ignore you. But as you're sort of looking around, you notice that there are at least 15 of them like sprinting around desperately, like exhaustedly carrying everything. And you notice one or two of them have also like collapsed from exhaustion. In the middle of it all seems to be Philo, who's consulting a gigantic book.
Oh, okay.
We are going to need to talk to Philo, aren't we?
Ugh. Can I roll the demonology now?
Yep.
Is there any indication of that weird kind of growth stuff anyway?
Growth stuff?
That killed the other guy that was like eating him alive.
Like mushrooms growing up the side? No.
All of that yucky fungi.
Not at the moment anyway.
I see. Are there any of the braziers with the green smoke?
You see sort of smoke in the distance, but it seems further away than it was.
Okay. Dumb question.
Might be good.
But the giant mushroom that was growing, is it still the same?
Yes. You notice that as you sort of look off to the side, off to where the gardens were, you notice that all the sort of things that were blocking the way to the giant mushroom, the sort of giant sort of tower-like mushroom that you saw, it all seems to have been cleared away, so you can see it far clearer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to go and talk to one of the myconids that has collapsed from exhaustion and ask it, what is it you are trying to do?
Okay, you speak to one of the ones that's collapsed. It's too busy, like, panting furiously, and when you try and talk to it, you don't get a response.
Yes.
Right. The myconids that are rushing around, do they seem to be sort of, let's say, acting independently, or does it look like they're being controlled by something?
It doesn't look like they're thinking for themselves. It looks like they're too busy trying to get everything else done.
But they did have that to some extent anyway.
Yeah, I know they've got a bit of like a hive mind thing going, but before there were differences of opinion and all of that stuff the last time that we were here.
Yes.
Yes. But now, like, this seems a little bit weird. I mean, especially if they're running themselves to the point of exhaustion.
Well, most of the dissenting myconids left, and we left.
Yeah.
So we just didn't go in the same direction.
I don't know. Just, it seems a bit odd.
See one of the ones that's carrying something in its hands, like it's taking it somewhere.
Yep.
13's going to run after one of those and, like, follow it.
Okay.
Alvin will follow after.
They seem to be stockpiling food and supplies in, like, all the buildings that were sort of houses. They seem to have allocated some to be, like, food stockpile places.
Okay.
And they seem to be, like, properly stockpiling food in there.
So I'll cautiously walk up to Philo and just raise my hand and say, "Hello, long time no see, friend."
Philo turns to you and goes, "Ah, welcome, friend, welcome. Welcome to the fair city. The inn is over there. You can have some comfort. Go about your business."
You seem busy. Is there any way we can help?
They sort of look at you and go, "No, no, no. You haven't seen Pisidia or Yesterbrood about, have you?"
"No, no. Did you need them for something?"
"Well, you know, the great wedding is soon and we need all the help we can get, but it's not for outsiders. It's fine. Just return to the inn over there. It's fine. I'm afraid the Gardens of Welcome are closed off for the moment."
"Why?"
"Preparing for the speech, you see."
"So there are Gardens of Not Welcome?"
"For the moment, yes. The inn is over there. You'll be more than welcome in the inn."
"Who is
the speech? Is it the wedding speech, or is it a speech for something else?"
"It's the wedding speech, but, you know, it's just for our kind. You're not welcome there. Outsiders are not required."
"Too bad, Gazrim, you can't record the wedding. You can't put it in poem and make a song about it."
"Oh, bloody hell, I'd love to write about that."
"I know, it's tough. I'm trying to ask Philo here, but not cooperating."
And Philo sort of looks up at Gazrim and goes, "No, no, this is an important time for my people. We can't have outsiders."
"But it must be recorded. Are you recording it?"
"It'll be monumental in my people and will be remembered for generations."
"The snail man invited us."
"Oh, yeah.
Yesterbrood invited you?"
"Yeah.
Where is
he?" "Where he was going to be then."
"Yeah,
we're sitting on the side of the bride."
I will check if you are on the papers, but for now, make your way to the inn.
I don't think that's a good idea, Layla.
Listen, there's something really weird going on here.
I think we need
to set the garden on fire.
The bride is the weird thing.
At this point, one of the other mages rushes up and hands Viola a piece of paper and says,
"What side did you say you were sitting on?"
Left.
Left. Maybe you are welcome. How do you know the bride?
Cassins.
So you two are a mushroom.
Ha! Yes.
We've had interactions with her relations.
I'm not sure. But I suppose if Yesterbrood has approved you, then come.
And Philo walks and you follow on. A couple more mushrooms sort of move in between you and Philo. They seem very protective of Philo. And as you walk through the Gardens of Welcome, you notice that it's very much been cut back and everything's been reduced from what it was. It seems like, if anything, the ground's been like dug clear and all the sort of debris and, like, you remember those the giant balls of like detritus that they were rolling around? Some of them lie stagnant at the side and unmoving. It's like they've sort of given up doing that side.
Very strange.
As you sort of go over the small hill within the Gardens of Welcome, you are gestured to what looks like a sort of bench made out of plants. One side says,
"You will sit here. This is the bride side. You may watch my speech if you wish."
Thank you.
In front of you is quite a large raised platform, and behind the raised platform is this massive sort of pinky purple mushroom. It's like a 20-foot high tower.
I see.
Okay. Can I roll demonology to see if there are any like weird malicious energies up in here?
You don't detect a thing.
Joking.
All you hear when you try and focus about demonology is you just hear the sound of like Myconids rushing around. Because there are still like Myconids rushing around everywhere, like trying to effectively kind of tidy up.
Could I do some sort of arcana or demonology comparison of this giant Myconid and the one in like the town square? Demonology or arcana?
Do arcana. You can't seem to notice anything. Everything just seems to be very high energy and hectic at the moment. It seems that the Myconids are existing on a plane that makes them like 4 or 5 times more active than they should be.
Is the weird snail creature around? Any of the cauldrons around?
The cauldrons, as I said before, have looked like they've been like pushed right back to the like as far away as possible from where you are.
And no sign of the snail?
No.
This giant mushroom, what does it look like?
It's
the bride.
The one sort of place where you're standing, there's this massive like pink, like a sort of tower. It looks like it's very anchored to the ground, so it's very much a sort of building. The only other person you can see is Philo.
You said it's a building. Does it have an entrance?
It does have an entrance of a sort of Myconid size entrance.
Oh, maybe the bride is inside.
Maybe. You said Myconid size, so 13? Do you want to go take a look?
What's inside?
I don't know. Maybe there's something for you to steal, or a cool hat.
Get this cool hat.
If there are any Myconids nearby while 13 is sneaking in, I will ask them for mushroom wine or some kind of
As you're all sitting there and 13 gets up and moves forward, immediately Myconids rush over and go, "No, no, you can't go forward. You must stay here. We can't let anyone near Philo."
I want to sit in the front row.
But you are in the front row.
Like, further up front. Closer.
But this is as close as the wedding party gets.
Are you sure about that?
Well, you're the only people there.
I know, but like, I'm just questioning them.
Can 13, like, really dramatically and very suddenly point in a totally opposite direction of the door? I'd be like, "Oh, what's that?"
I will bound over 13 and run in that direction.
As you do that, Philo is giving this great speech to everyone about how the Myconid race are going to be mighty and grow, and they will unite with the Rumikos, and together they shall grow to be stronger, faster, taller. Forever they will be together in this. And as he gets to this dramatic point, you notice behind him, slowly rising, this almost opaque slightly green tinged, like jelly. Just getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Oh god, this looks so amazing.
Until it's the same height as the building. And as Philo reaches this crescendo of forever we will be this, and all the Myconids are looking where you're pointing, Philo turns round and is basically like swallowed by this massive jelly.
Oh my gosh.
As Philo struggles, you hear Stowe applauding really loudly and shouts, Eric made it to the wedding!
Stowe?
Oh my god.
13 would like to turn around and run in the opposite direction away from the jelly.
No, okay. Just this. Called it. You all owe me.
I want to.
I have no money!
What is Eric? What is Eric?
So, at this point, Philo is within this, like, gigantic green-tinged jelly. And it's thrashing around, and as the sort of thrashing gets more and more violent, Philo begins to sort of like spark, and after a couple of seconds, Philo switches shape and becomes this about 12 foot tall, like spindly looking demonic creature that continues to writhe within the jelly as if it still can't get its way out. And at this point you notice at the back of the jelly is what looks like the decayed remnants of a snail shell.
Fucking do it.
Oh, I had not expected this.
Can I get the barrel of salt, or is it still on the cart far away?
Still on the cart outside the town.
Damn it.
Let's run back. Let's go get the salt.
As we run, I am grabbing Stool and being like, why the hell did you come into town?
Eric's got a present for us. He's got a present for us. Friend Eric.
Where?
I think.
Right. Rastlecoz will start walking towards the cube, though he will ready his sledgehammer.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
After about two or three minutes of this massive, as I said, about 12-foot creature, like quite spindly-looking demonic creature writhing around, it eventually, like, again, sparks a bit and begins to shrink down, and it ends up shrinking down into what looks like another about 8-inch-high green-tinged gem. It looks very similar to the one you saw before.
Mm-hmm.
And then the gem seems to be slowly pushed towards the edge and then just falls out with a sort of ding ding as it lands on the ground, and this cube just starts backing away.
Okay.
I guess at this point Rastlecoz has made it to Eric and seen this happen.
Yep.
What is that?
I'll yell over to the rest of them that I presume are still about where we sat.
Yeah. At this point Stowe is still clapping like a contented child and says, Eric says he has a present for you.
Oh dear.
He says Rastlecoz knows what to do with it.
I have a suspicion, but is it safe to pick up?
Use your hammer!
Yes.
13 shouts from whatever hiding place she ran off.
At this point, you hear Gazrim sort of go,
well, if he's wanting to destroy it, he can't break it here. The demon will just end up coming back.
That is a demon. I'm pretty sure that's a demon. Any hallowed ground nearby?
This is a wedding site.
Well, there's another forge in Grackleslow. I can bless that.
Wait, I look around to everyone else.
We don't need to go back there, do we?
Rastlecoz will shrug and pick up the green gem.
Okay.
Oh dear.
Immediately when you pick up the gem, you get this image of your mind of this very sort of tidy looking demon that's sort of like quite spindly with its fingers clasped together that goes,
you know that you could just do all this on your own, right? You don't need others.
Fuck. I'm gonna take my cloak off and try and like cover the gem and yank it out of Rastikos's hand. Do I have to
roll? Is this not happening in his head?
Like he's touching the gem. Last time someone was close to the gem, they were possessed by it.
Oh, okay. I don't know that because I don't know that.
I'd love to get help from Ishidora, but didn't you run in the opposite direction?
I went off to get salt.
Listen.
Yeah, so I'm just like kind of running all over the place. So you tell me if I can do it.
You continue sprinting up towards Rastlecoz and like,
Rastlecoz is very willing to believe that particular argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes sense.
Okay, do I have to roll anything to grab this thing?
Do I have to roll anything before he does?
No, it's just all you hear is this like voice in your head just telling you that you could, in fact, have everything you ever desire.
So Nala's been watching all this happen.
and she has two nice rocks that she picked up. Gonna take one, and seeing that Rastus is picking up the gem, she's gonna just throw it as hard as she can at his hands.
Sure.
Okay.
Trying to knock it out.
Yeah.
Okay, can I ask a question quickly?
Yep.
Since I wasn't here last week and I don't actually know what's going on, do I need to roll to try and figure out that this is a bad thing for him to have it? Or can I just deduce that from everybody trying to get the damn thing away from him?
I think you could just deduce that from everyone's reaction.
Panicked, okay. Everyone screaming.
I'm going to hit Rastikos on the head with the spade.
It's for nice night.
Roll the hit, Rastikos on the head with a shovel.
Yes. Oh, damn. I hope this does not do
bad. We need to set some ground rules for demonic repossession.
You crack Rastikos in the back of the head. He staggers forward a bit and drops the stone.
I cover it.
Okay.
I've been hit in the back of the head by a marble shovel.
Yeah. I have a question. Since I am technically an infernal creature, do I have any kind of maybe resilience to something like that? Could I just pick it up?
You could pick it up. You'll get the same sort of offers as anyone else that touches it.
Is it the same?
I wouldn't let you pick it up. Like, I know what it did to the Rast person, so...
I would like to do a demonology check on Rastikos.
Okay. He's basically had a sort of demon in his head, but it's very faint demonology. Very, very faint demonology.
Okay. I'm going to shout at him.
As you do.
You need to not touch things with demons. Bad human.
I'm still unconscious on the ground, I'm guessing.
You're not unconscious, you're just like staggering just forward, like holding your head. Going,
slightly
ow.
Concussed. Okay.
Oh dear. I'm so sorry. That's actually what Layla's going to do. She's going to walk up to him and go, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry for hitting you with a shovel.
I am busy tying this thing up in cloak that I had, just so that no one's touching it. I don't want to touch it, I'm just holding it further away from my body like it thinks.
So, as you do this, Stool is still applauding and saying, isn't Eric such a lovely, friendly friend?
Yes, he is delightful. Where can I find him?
Oh, I'll ask him.
Thank you.
And he sort of looks far away and he goes, Eric says he will be about.
I'm sure he will.
I told him that friend Rastikos can deal with gems. He was very happy.
Well,
I see.
I have a theory about Eric now.
That he's a gelatinous cube thing.
No.
That seems to be able to get demons to apparate.
I don't think...
I mean,
no,
most
no,
things get dissolved when inside.
I don't think the jelly is Eric.
But you don't think it's Eric?
I don't. It could be, but I don't think so.
Right, Gazrim, you're talking about hallowed grounds?
Well, yeah, I
mean... I think we need to get out of here.
The nearest hallowed ground is probably Grackleslow, which we've not heard anything from in the last week, actually.
I wonder why.
Do we explain?
I shake my head violently.
Didn't we explain what happened to Gragglestick?
No, we'd never been there.
Grackleslow's a great place. They've got this, like, massive dragon that lives there. It's wonderful.
Yeah, he's super angry.
Did King Brunor not give you our report?
No. Why?
Brunor asked us what we'd seen in our travel to Gauntlegrim.
Aye.
We had a stop in Grapplestuck, and we escaped during the dragon's rampage through the city when it broke its
You don't
bonds.
Say it got out. I mean, what is the dragon going to do if it gets out? I mean, there's not anything it can do. We're underground, it can't fly anywhere.
Well, it can fly.
It's still a dragon.
We didn't stay long enough to see which side won out.
We did see that there was fire. A lot of fire.
Right, well, that's going to make the next part of the journey very interesting.
Mm-hmm, indeed. As I stuff the cloth with the stone into the salt barrel.
Okay, so...
I'm going to help Rastikos back to the car. So I'm really sorry.
All the Myconids now, they're all sort of standing completely still. It's as if they were all getting orders what to do and now they've just got nothing left. So they all just seem to be like blank.
Should we tell Stool to help them out? Tell them where to go? I
will figure it out.
I'm going to speak to one of them. Are you okay? Can you go back to as you were before all this started?
There is just silence.
Well, we've done all we can.
Maybe we should leave Stool here.
I don't think Stool will stay. He likes Trees too much.
I think we give him the choice, but okay. I'm also concerned. Do you remember what happened before when Stool had blended with some of his people?
Yes.
I fear that his memories... Yes, his memories on top of this emptiness could be fatal.
How's the light looking? The light that keeps going from the tower that...
It's stopped.
It's completely dark now?
Yep.
Okay, well, I'm not sure what we can do, to be honest.
Does anybody know what this place is meant to be like? I mean, having come from the surface, I have absolutely no clue. Like, could we, for example, could I roll something like lore or like history or whatever? Because maybe there's something that just needs to be like rectified and then they'll wake up again.
Where's the reset button?
Yeah, exactly. Where's the reset button?
Well, as far as I know, they had two leaders and they need a leader to function. And since the leader is in the salt barrel, I think they're...
Well, we know roughly the direction that... The rest of them went in.
Yes. Those who were not fooled by Philo left.
Yes.
But the fact that Philo, as we've discovered, was a demon and had plans to join the Myconids with another force, would that force not possibly also be demonically corrupted?
So what you're saying is we should burn the garden.
I'm in favour of this.
With Philo removed, the question is, will the remaining Myconids be happiness victims of the other demonic force, or will that force seek, pardon the pun, greener pastures?
I would like to do a demonology check, please.
Okay.
Is the general demonology energy here fading or getting stronger?
Even with that lower roll, it's definitely fading.
Okay.
It seems to be pulsing more from your salt barrel now than anywhere else.
I suspect that whatever it was that demon wanted, it's already got it. I don't think they're in any more danger here at the moment, but how safe they are, even without a demon around, is debatable.
I think we should get rid of the thing.
Getting rid of that gem will probably give them their best chance.
Is there any sign of that snail guy?
The snail guy was dead behind the jelly. Oh. I saw the shell.
It had already eaten Istrabod.
To be honest, he wasn't looking so hot when we first saw him.
Yes, he very much looked infected by something.
I feel really bad just leaving them like this.
You can't do much.
I mean, they're probably going to die if they don't snap out of it.
If we keep going, we might be able to find their other leader. They might be able to do something to help them.
If we move them, are they like, do they resist? Or do they just, like, move wherever we push them?
What do you mean?
Like, if I push them, do they, like, walk, or do they resist?
If you push one of the Myconids, it just slowly topples backwards.
I write the one I push down. I'm like, okay, sorry, just testing things out.
Are they still alive?
Do they still have soul, is my question.
When you check them for, like, are there, sort of, is there life left in them? There seems to be, but they seem to be in a sort of state of stasis.
Oh.
Okay.
Perhaps once we break the gem...
It would be possible.
Yes, it might be holding something from them.
Given that high mind-like stature.
Yes.
I have another question. We couldn't go into the big other building, the tower. They stopped us. But now
that was
no
where
stopped.
The bride was, again.
Yeah, no one's stopping us now.
You can go into the tower if you want now. There's nothing to stop you.
I'd like to go into the tower. What's in the tower?
You open the door, it's built for a Myconid, so the door's only maybe like 3 foot tall.
13, wouldn't you like to?
Okay, sure.
Okay, basically 13 goes in. Inside there's a set of stairs. She sort of like runs up the stairs and it leads to a sort of like...
She walks carefully up the stairs, I'll have you know.
Okay.
They're small. This is like a little person's place. 13's like, this is nice. Everything kind of to scale to me. Not used
appreciating
to this.
The real estate.
Yeah, she's like, I like these little stairs.
She walks slowly, daintily, and carefully up the stairs. Gets to the top, and all there really is a small, like, it's like a sort of Rapunzel balcony.
Is there a window? Can she lean out it and wave it?
There
everybody?
Is a window she can lean out of, yes, and a wee sort of small balcony.
She does that.
So it's just a balcony 20 foot up.
Is there anything she can, like, pick up and drop? And
you sort of look around, see if there's anything. There doesn't seem to be much. There's, like, a couple of, like, loose bits of stone and stuff like that. There's nothing much else.
Any sign of the bride?
Nope.
So there's nothing. It's just empty rooms.
All you see from the top there is the cauldrons in the distance and the, like, edge of this gigantic mushroom.
How far away from the cauldrons is the mushroom?
Maybe the mushroom seems to be, like, start, at least on this side of the cauldrons. The cauldrons seem to be, like, along the edge of the great mushroom and then have a sort of, like, a wall of cauldrons.
Roughly how many?
There's about 7 or 8.
And are they, like, bubbling like they were before the last time we went?
Yeah, they seem to be bubbling, but the smoke seems to be blowing more the other direction now.
And which direction is that? Is that, like, to another city, or...?
It's basically blowing the exact opposite direction from where Nadalai Grotto is.
Okay. While she's up in the tower, 13's going to, like, check the masonry work.
Mm-hmm.
And was it built by mushroom people?
It would just it seems to be a natural thing, just like a lot of the other mushroom buildings.
It's, like, made of mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
Can 13 take a bite? Does it taste good?
You can bite the building if you want.
Yeah! She bites the building.
Let's see what effect biting the building has.
True science at work here.
Why do you guys always...
The building is apparently very tasty to 13.
Awesome! She's gonna, like, take out her little dagger and take a big chunk, and she's gonna, like, take chunks for everybody, and then she's gonna, like, calm down the mushroom tower and come back out and give everybody a bit of mushroom tower and tell them about what she saw. Okay. In an elaborate way.
Okay. Do we investigate further, or do we just head off to the next place?
Cauldrons are dangerous.
Yeah,
we should destroy whatever's in them.
What
I think
doing?
We have some
anyway. Kind of timeline for this other demon that we're meant to play.
He said we should be there in a week.
First, you've taken about 2 days so far to get to where you were.
That's not too bad.
What I want to find out is in which direction is it? So if we go towards the cauldron, is where we need to go in the same direction or
it's
the opposite direction?
Currently pointing in a different direction from the way that you'd be going to go to Gracoslaw. So it's like, say for example, it's like a triangle. You've came down from one side to go from Ablingdonstone to Devil at Grotto. You can go one direction to Gracoslaw, but you could also curve around after Gracoslaw and go to where the sort of cauldrons are blowing to if you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do?
I would like to throw in the gem as soon as possible. The longer it stays in the material realm, the more chances it will to affect somebody and cause the demon to manifest.
How did you destroy the last one?
We smashed it on a sanctified anvil in Gauntlegrim.
Okay, so that's where we need to go.
We know Gauntlegrim has one. Trim suggests going to Gracklestoke, which might have one, and if not, he will sanctify one there. Though, Kashrim, you have not mentioned why you couldn't sanctify any old block of rock, so that we might smash the gem on top of that.
Perhaps it is part of dwarf religion.
Well,
if you got a forge that could smash demons, we need to be a big dwarven forge, or at least something solidly like, you know, stone or metal. Something strong enough that could take the blow.
Could I do some geology checks to see if I can find anywhere that might have sufficient solidity to do this?
You could if you want, yeah.
Let's see if I can roll something decent. Makes a change.
You look around. Most places around seem to be made of, like, that sort of, like, spongy earth that you're sort of familiar with the Underdark, or sand. Mm-hmm. The only sort of rock area you're familiar with is down, indeed, by Gracoslaw.
Ah, damn. I think we will need to go closer to that. Fowls.
Maybe our friend the dragon is there. Dragon is still a powerful ally.
Yes. You never know. He might help us if we agree to clean his claws again.
He might help us anyway.
He might.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be easily led. All you have to do is praise him a bit.
He was very young.
And scritches.
And scritches.
No special scritches. No.
Sorry, what? I've forgotten about that. I seem to have blocked out any memory of that.
No, the two dinosaurs up.
Probably for the best.
I'm worried about where the bride may have gone.
I don't think there was a bride to begin with.
We were denied entry because the bride was in there.
Yes, but they were possibly delusional.
I'm more curious about Eric.
Did Rastikos tell us about seeing the demon?
No.
Okay.
I mean, that happened very fast.
Fair. I'm going to ask Rastikos, did you see or hear anything when you touched the gem?
You know the sloth demon?
Yes.
Similar experience.
Oh dear. But not slothful.
Well, no, it looked like the creature we saw become the gem. You know, the tall, spindly-looking thing.
Did he say anything to you?
Then it told me that I could do it on my own.
So perhaps this is pride?
If we're dealing with sins, perhaps. Might just be appealing to my
heroic nature.
Okay.
Desire for recognition.
Let's set some ground rules. No touching strange gems and no hitting people over the head with a shovel if they touch a said gem, please.
Okay.
Or at least
I'm
not
really
the...
sorry.
I'll nurse in the back of my head.
Okay. So what Layla wants to do is just try and sort of figure out if I can do something of the lump on the back of Rastico's head.
You just sort of like rub it gently, and eventually after a couple of minutes it begins to start going down, but he looks very annoyed.
I'm so ashamed of myself right now.
You did the right thing. I mean, you got the gem out of his hand. Maybe a gentler approach.
She's going to start crying.
Oh, Nal gives her a pat on the back and tells her she did good.
I walk past Nal and I say, I owe you 10 gold.
I would like to check on Stool. How is he after seeing all of this?
Stool seems relatively fine. He seems quite sort of, as before, he was quite content that Eric appeared.
Mm-hmm.
Stool? So was that big green thing Eric? You know, the one that swallowed Pilot.
He sort of looks at you and goes, uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So Eric is helping us out again?
Eric is our friend.
But why did he want to swallow Philo?
Oh, Eric says Philo was not friend.
Evidently.
Okay.
Okay.
I think Eric was right.
You know what? This Eric guy, he's hard to place. But
he is very hard to place.
But I think he's not bad.
For some reason, he is helping us at the moment. Why he is doing that and whether that will continue is another matter.
I eat a bit of mushroom that 13 gave me. Is it tasty?
It tastes like wall.
Like it's... I just crunch into it and I'm like...
It tastes like sort of like very, very heavy...
has just been eating...
Yeah. Very dense mushroom.
Really nice. Delicious.
Like imagine a brick made out of mushroom.
Silence returns. The waters lay still, for this week at least. Join us again next week for more of our tale. This podcast is an adaptation of Out of the Abyss, a 5th edition D&D adventure. It was adapted from the original story by Nikolai Pupsky. The podcast features Nikolai, Dragon, Shiraz, Freya, Susie Q, Torno, and Wednesday LeFay. All music was written and performed by Daniel Bostrom. Artwork was by John Moore. And if you, dear listener, wish to acquire your own sets of finest metal or acrylic adventuring dice, then journey through the Underdark to dndice.co.uk and speak the name Penance RPG at the checkout for a 5% discount off your order. Farewell and Godspeed, for we fear the madness is closing in. Good night out there, whatever you are. Ha 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 ha.